Welcome to your Sunday Reader. Today we'll be discussing the readings for the 22nd Sunday in Ordinary Time, 2009.
A reading from the book of Deuteronomy. Moses said to the people, "Now, Israel, hear the statutes and decrees which I am teaching you to observe, that you may live and may enter in and take possession of the land which the Lord, the God of your fathers, is giving you. In your observance of the commandments of the Lord, your God, which I enjoin upon you, you shall not add to what I command you, nor subtract from it. Observe them carefully, for thus will you give evidence of your wisdom and intelligence to the nations, who will hear of all these statutes and say, 'This great nation is truly a wise and intelligent people.' For what great nation is there that has gods so close to it as the Lord, our God, is to us whenever we call upon him? Or what great nation has statutes and decrees that are as just as this whole law which I am setting before you today?" The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. One who does justice will live in the presence of the Lord.
One who does justice will live in the presence of the Lord.
Whoever walks blamelessly and does justice, who thinks the truth in his heart and slanders not with his tongue.
One who does justice will live in the presence of the Lord.
Who harms not his fellow man, nor takes up a reproach against his neighbor, by whom the reprobate is despised, while he honors those who fear the Lord.
One who does justice will live in the presence of the Lord.
Who lends not his money at usury, and accepts no bribe against the innocent. Whoever does these things shall never be disturbed.
One who does justice will live in the presence of the Lord. A reading from the letter of St. James. Dearest brothers and sisters, all good giving and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no alteration or shadow caused by change. He willed to give us birth by the word of truth, that we may be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Humbly welcome the word that has been planted in you and is able to save your souls. Be doers of the word and not hearers only, deluding yourselves. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God and the Father is this: to care for orphans and widows in their affliction, and to keep oneself unstained by the world. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. When the Pharisees with some scribes who had come from Jerusalem gathered around Jesus, they observed that some of his disciples ate their meals with unclean, that is, unwashed hands. For the Pharisees, and in fact all Jews, do not eat without carefully washing their hands, keeping the tradition of the elders. And on coming from the marketplace, they do not eat without purifying themselves. And there are many other things that they have traditionally observed, the purification of cups and jugs and kettles and beds. So the Pharisees and scribes questioned him, "Why do your disciples not follow the tradition of the elders, but instead eat a meal with uncleaned hands?" He responded, "Well did Isaiah prophesize about you hypocrites, as it is written, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines human precepts. You disregard God's commands, but cling to human tradition.'" He summoned the crowd again and said to them, "Hear me, all of you, and understand. Nothing that enters one from outside can defile that person. But the things that come from within are what defile. From within people, from their hearts, come evil thoughts, unchastity, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, licentiousness, envy, blasphemy, arrogance, folly. All these evils come from within, and they defile." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Hello and welcome to your Sunday Reader. I'm Father Brian, and I'm here today with Father Mark Brewer.
Hello, everyone, and Brian.
Hey, how's it going? And it's good to have you back. Dawn has abandoned us once again. I think Dawn has been on one podcast the last month. She's been quite busy between the stuff going on at St. Mary's with. She had a work camp and then the festival and the lawn sale and all that stuff. And now she's on a hard-earned vacation. And Father Mark, you just got back from a vacation, so I was able to put you back to work right away.
That's right, yes. Well, I heard Dawn was on vacation all month. That's the rumor I heard about her. So
I said, Dawn is never on vacation. Dawn just works. That's all she does.
That's right.
her life is work. So I was glad to see. I think she's going, I want to say somewhere in Canada. It might have been Toronto or something. I can't remember where she said she was going, just to get away and relax. So that should be good for her.
Wonderful. Yeah, that is good.
And anyways, we're here to talk about these readings, not Dawn's work and vacation life. So
that's right.
We'll see. Did anything hit you in this reading from the Gospel according to Mark or any of the other readings?
Well, that's it. You know, we are. This is the weekend that we go back into Mark's Gospel. We've been in John's Gospel for the past 5 or 6 weeks, you know, hearing about that whole bread of life discourse. And now we're back into Mark. And, you know, we've got this controversy between the scribes and Pharisees with Jesus and the washing of their hands and all this stuff. And, you know, I was thinking they almost strike me, these Pharisees and scribes strike me as like a very type A personality, paying attention to lots and lots and lots and lots of detail. And Jesus is kind of, I think, you know, he's kind of lifting their heads out of the detail that that they're so kind of immersed in, because he's really needs to kind of reorient their lives, you know. And I think about that in terms of our own life, how God is doing the same thing with us, you know, kind of moving us out of sometimes the things that we get so immersed in, the details of life that we get immersed in, and kind of lifts us out. And I think sometimes that's what Mass does for us on weekends. It really takes us, maybe it gives us the bigger picture, you know, takes us away from the daily grind and helps lift us out of it a bit and see where, you know, where have we encountered God throughout our life, or, you know, where have we maybe turned away from God in our life. So it's, I can see Jesus doing that same kind of thing to these Pharisees and scribes, trying to lift them out of this detail that they have gotten so wrapped up in. That really is not important detail, because, you know, like they're saying, you know, these are the traditions of the elders. And Jesus is saying, well, that's fine, but what's more important is God and God's commandments versus the tradition of the elders, you know, the human tradition.
Right. And some of it, a lot of it is that they've lost some of probably the meaning of some of this. And I think that's an important thing, too. A lot of times, you know, our faith is rich with all kinds of symbols and things. But if we don't educate ourselves on these symbols and we don't learn or understand them, they can kind of become meaningless. And especially when we're trying to observe them with rigidity, but we're losing the meaning of the symbol in the process of doing it. So the whole idea of, you know, washing and being ritually clean is probably in the Jewish tradition. It's there. It's not just a matter of that it in itself has value, but it's to remind us that we are supposed to be cleansed, not just physically, but spiritually as well, when we do different things. And that's what the whole purpose of the ritual cleansing was. It wasn't necessarily the fact that you actually made sure that, you know, your hands were clean. Now, that might be for sanity's sake these days and everything, that, you know, your mom tells you to wash your hands. She wants you to do it for sanity reasons, you know, not for ritual purity before you eat dinner.
Right.
But the ritual purity aspect for it here was the reason that they did it in the Jewish tradition. And again, it wasn't commanded by God, like you said. But what's pointed out here that Jesus says is, you're so worried about being ritually pure by the letter of the law, by cleansing your hands, but you're not actually spiritually pure, which is the whole point of this whole thing, because you're ignoring the commands of God. So you sit here and you say, well, I do, you know, I cleanse my hands before I eat dinner or something like that, or before I sit down to eat. And he says, but that's missing the whole point of the ritual. The ritual has a whole point to it, and you've just missed the whole point of the ritual.
Right.
And I know there's times when, you know, that happens in our own liturgies at times, when people will do things or change things. You say, well, by doing that, you've just missed the whole point of what we just say. Like, one of the things that I always get at for one of the things is, a lot of times you'll hear a priest or something, they'll say, like, the Lord be with you. And then after that, at the beginning of Mass, then they'll say, good morning.
Yes.
And, but the thing is the Lord be with you. I mean, that's such a powerful statement. You're saying the Lord is here with us. And then you back that up with good morning. You know, right. you've missed the point. That was an introduction, and sure. It was a real powerful introduction. And we miss some of the points, even priests do it, like I've just pointed out there, of our rituals when we do things like that. And again, I'm not trying to criticize any particular priest or anything like that, but sure. there's a sense in which it shows we've lost the understanding of what it is we're doing when we say something like that. Right. And certainly it happens over and over. But if somebody got so rigid, too, with certain of our laws or something that they've missed the whole point of why we do this, that can be problematic as well. So like if you get so caught up in getting everything right in the liturgy and you miss the whole point that the liturgy is meant to strengthen you to go out into the world to be able to bring God into the world, instead you sit there and criticize that the liturgy wasn't done right or something like that, you're missing the point too, because you're not taking that strength to transform the world, you're taking it to criticize the liturgy or something.
Right.
So there's all kinds of senses in which we have to make sure that what we're doing is actually doing it with the right spirit that it's meant to be done with. And
that's what Jesus is doing. Yeah, he's kind of reorienting them and us, you know, to move away from the external to the internal.
Right.
You know, where does the defilement come from? It comes from within.
Right.
You know?
And that's the key right there is what he says. He said, you know, if you're sitting here and you're worried about being unclean, well, being unclean is an interior state. This cleansing is supposed to be a way of reminding you. It's similar at Mass. You and I both sit here every Mass and we'll say, Lord, wash away my iniquity, cleanse me from my sin. And we do that as we wash our hands. We're not saying in doing that my hands are sinful or that I can actually wash it away with water. But it's a symbol. It's a symbol of washing and cleansing. And we're asking that same symbol be what's going on to our internal disposition there too, when we say that. And that's the way the ritual cleansing was meant to be, I believe, in Jesus's day, and not something that is the water itself is, you know, there for actually cleaning it. Somebody could argue and say, well, you know, you're not really cleaning your hands very well when you do that. You don't have soap or whatever else. You're missing the point if that's what you're trying to get at, saying that the priest's hands should be clean. It's not, I mean, priests should do that before Mass. Not
right.
But there's the ritual to it.
There is. And I think, you know, Christ is really trying to, you know, force them and us to look at, you know, the inside, to look really deep inside of ourselves to see what's really our motivation, you know, what are our intentions, and, you know, how do those play out? Because that's where, you know, we can look at all of our actions in life and we have to understand that there's motivation behind those actions.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And to look at what really motivates us, that's most important. It's also, I would say, very hard work for us to do because sometimes we don't want to look at that.
Right.
You know? And yet that's what we're called to do. And, you know, we can, because I think, you know, sometimes I'll say that Mass is not a sedative. We don't come to church to be lulled to sleep or to feel good about things. And yes, there are those moments when Mass does it, but I also think that, especially maybe when we hear the Word of God, whether it be the first, second, or gospel reading, that it can make us uncomfortable in the pew.
Mm-hmm.
And that's okay, because I think that's a good thing, because maybe it's touching something very deep inside of us, you know, so that when, you know, we hear this second reading today from the letter of James, mm-hmm. that says, be doers of the word and not hearers only, and that, you know, religion that is pure and undefiled before God is to care for the orphans and the widows and their afflictions and to keep oneself unstained by the world. You know, we might hold ourselves up against that and say, geez, have I really done what God's word calls me to?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and to really kind of look at that. And I think that's an honest evaluation of ourselves. And that's, I think, exactly what we should be doing at liturgy, is to place ourselves very honestly before God.
Right. And as I tell people, that the whole point of the Mass is to transform us, not to affirm us where we are.
And right, exactly.
And that's I think, is the challenge there. And it's similar, that looking at that interior disposition is very important, and it comes up a lot of times, too, when you're talking about sin. So often people will ask me, is doing, you know, X, Y, Z, is that a sin? And always the response I always have to say is, well, why do you do X, Y, Z? Because
right.
that's the thing, is an action can be right or wrong, but it's just an action. It's only sin when you know it's wrong and you choose to do it.
That's right.
And that's going to your motivation there, saying, you know, well, why are you doing this? Are you doing this for selfish reasons? Are you doing it for prideful reasons? Are you doing it, you know, out of ignorance? You know, one of the things that almost always, you know, and you've probably faced this too, is in Lent, somebody comes and said, oh, I forgot it was Friday and I had a ham sandwich for lunch. Well, if you forgot, you didn't freely choose to do it. You know, you forgot. You know,
right.
That's not
yeah.
a sin. That's a human mistake. But, you know,
right.
I've forgotten answers to history quizzes, you know, and that's
right.
not a sin. A sin would be saying, you know, yes, I know that the church has asked us to be in solidarity and to, for everybody to give up meat, but gosh darn it, I like my ham, and so I'm going to have it anyway. Mm-hmm. That's the sin. It's just an accident. Otherwise, and accidents aren't sin.
Right.
And so that's an important thing as it goes into, again, that interior disposition that Jesus says. It's what's inside of you. And if what's inside of you was, oh, I completely forgot and didn't realize it until after I'd eaten the sandwich, well, you don't confess that because it was a mistake. It's not something you chose to do.
And I think that, you know, as you said, this the mass calls us to transformation, is transforming our lives. And then hopefully what that does to us is moves us outside the doors of the church to a world that needs us, you know, that we are willing to take the gospel and the Eucharist to the world that is in need of a God who is filled with life and love, you know, that we can be some kind of disciple at that point. I think that's what it's always about, that, you know, that moves us from recognizing the reality of who we are, recognizing sometimes our motivations are not so pure and not so good, but that we are being transformed by God and called to go be disciples of the Word.
And that's very true. And also, we are called to end this podcast at this point.
Yes,
but I thank everybody for joining us this week, and thank you, Father Mark, for being on. And hopefully we'll get a time when you, Don, and I can all be on together, when all three of us. That'd be great to have the whole gang
yes.
back, so to speak.
It would be. Yeah, very nice.
And we hope everyone will join us next week on Your Sunday Reader. Have a good week. God bless.